born and raised in Limpopo, politically I'm from Gauteng. Thanks very much.
Khalifa. Honorable Kamro. Honorable Mieni. Honorable Afri. We'll
take the
problem now, Winston K. Thank you. Winston K, you can proceed. It looks like there's a problem with the Winston K, Eastern K.
Did you call Eastern Cape, sir?
Yeah,
thank you very much. Thank you very much.
My name is Melendez Samata. I'm the secretary of the Portfolio Committee on Economic Development, Environmental Affairs and Tourism. Thank you.
Thanks,
Honorable
Damas.
Chief, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Chair, thank you very much. My name is Dalen Mitchell. I'm from the Western Cape. I'm a member of the Portfolio Committee on Economic Opportunities, Tourism and Finance in the province. Chairperson, with your indulgence, please allow me an opportunity to officially table the apology of the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee, Advocate Yedre Baartman.
Thank you, Chairperson. My name is Honorable Fatia Hassan. I'm the acting chairperson at the moment of Economic Development, Agricultural Development, but for us tourism falls under Economic Development. And also just formally to apologize on behalf of the chairperson. She's on extended special leave. So I'm also joined by my team, which includes Nina Makubela and Thabo Sotana. Thanks for the invitation,
Chairperson.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
If I can draw
about this. Thanks, Chairperson. My name is Gita Lembukmani, the Chairperson for the Portfolio Committee, Economic Development, Environment, Tourism and Agricultural Development. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mpopali. Mpopo. Northern Cape. We were told that the Free State will join us in the part of the meeting, so I'm sure the Free State is not there. KZN, are they on now? Okay. Honorable members, let me take this opportunity to welcome you to this important meeting, which is the second meeting where there will be an interaction between the national members of the Portfolio Committee on Tourism and our colleagues in the provinces who are also dealing with the same responsibility of tourism. Last year we started a process of ensuring that as a sector, because we are a sector, we are called the legislative sector. What I'm going to refer to members is that if you can be on mute, those of us who are not speaking, just be on mute And if you can also put our phones on silent, so that they don't disturb the proceedings of the meeting. Just to start again, I was saying that I'm welcoming you, the honorable members of the Portfolio Committee of Tourism, Parliament, and members of the Provincial Portfolio Committee in the various legislatures. We all know that National Parliament, including the legislature, we are a sector. We are called the legislative sector. That is why all the provinces have got members sitting in Parliament.
So you say what
province to national. They are members of the National Assembly.
Yes.
Mr. Demolchina, you can be mute. Right. I was saying that both the provincial legislatures and parliament at the national level, we are one thing, we are one sector. We are called the legislative sector. Madam Bolsina, if you can mute.
Okay, sir.
Just mute. Thank you very much.
Okay.
So the Portfolio Committee of Tourism in Parliament, during our deliberations since last year, we realized that there has not been consistent interaction between members of the Portfolio Committee of Tourism at the national level and members of the Portfolio Committee of Tourism at the provincial level. With municipalities as well. So we said that because we are a sector, we will have to develop a process of working together as both members of parliament, national, and our counterparts in various provinces. This is aimed at making sure that we strengthen one of our responsibilities of doing oversight on the executive. You should know, honorable members, that on the side of the executive, there is what we call MIMEC, where the minister meets on a quarterly basis with MEPs who come from various provinces. They need to look at their annual performance plan. They also meet in the context of Intergovernmental Relations Act and framework. They also need to look at the extent to which they are implementing their annual performance plans and all their strategic objectives as various departments and provinces. So we then decided as a committee that it was important for us to commence an arrangement that is similar to the one that is existing on the executive staff, so that we can be able to do effective, efficient, systematic oversight on the executive in totality. So we then decided as a committee that we are going to be interacting with the province so that we can establish what we call legislature tourism oversight forum. This oversight forum will be like a mini-mac on the side of the executive. What it means is that on the side of parliament, on a quarterly basis, we will need to reflect on the issues of mutual interest as they relate to the work of doing oversight on tourism. So that those of us who are in parliament, we must not think we are somebody there that is more senior than the provinces and the municipalities, and those that are in provinces must also think now they are holding their own corner. So it was our view that we must become one thing and work together to confront the problems that are facing South Africa. We all know that unemployment in South Africa is currently hovering around 34%. So the critical question should be, what is it that we can do as a thorough researcher in as far as this challenge is concerned? The second challenge, we know that poverty in South Africa is hovering around 56-57%. It is also indicated in the National Development Plan as one of the structural challenges that are facing our country. The third challenge that faces us is inequality. Inequality is huge in South Africa. Actually, South Africa is ranking among the West in as far as the global index on inequality is concerned. We also have the problem of youth unemployment, which is currently hovering around 64%. There are many other problems that we have. For instance, tourism activity as an economic activity is mainly embedded in Gauteng, in KZN, particularly in the Durban Metro, in the Western Cape. A little bit of it is in Port Elizabeth. Then a little bit of tourism will happen in the cities in various provinces. When you go to the periphery of every province, where these problems that I spoke about, poverty, inequality, and unemployment, where there's high prevalence and embeddedness of these three challenges, tourism activities there are not that much. So as the portfolio committee, we then decided that what we are going to do is to make sure that through our term of office of 4 years, we undergo a process of rebranding, repositioning, and renewing. The oversight process we are going to be doing on tourism in dealing with this structural challenge. Our special focus is going to be where poverty is. This poverty, inequality, and unemployment is more pronounced in our village. It is more pronounced in the township. Is more pronounced in the small towns or the small dorms. So, as a committee we thought, it will be important for us to then confront oversight as a responsibility of ourselves at the national level and our provinces, basing our focus on where the poverty, inequality, and unemployment as the three variables are in the villages, the townships, and the small towns. When you look at the labor survey, which was labor report survey, which was released yesterday by SSA, it goes further to confirm what we are saying here today as the Tourism Portfolio Committee, that the problems of inequality, of poverty, of unemployment in South Africa are more embedded and pronounced in the villages, the townships, and the small dorms. COVID-19 has also went further to expose the extent to which the people who are in the villages, the townships, and the small towns are almost forever vulnerable because they do not have the necessary means economically to be able to attend to some of the problems that they have dealt with. If we talk physical distancing, the stadium is a big problem. Those are saying the townships, they are cramped today. There's no space, big problem. We look at poverty as a variable within the three challenges as enshrined in the NDC, huge problem. So South Africa has a long way to go. So the question we should be asking is, what is it that tourism should be contributing to help South Africa overcome these problems that we see? So as a committee, we also realize that at the municipal level, the issues of tourism are not given the necessary serious attention they deserve. If you are lucky, you will find that in an LED of a municipality, there is some reference to issues of tourism, but tourism you will not be given the necessary attention. When you look at the budget of municipality, the tourism will not be given the necessary attention. When you look at the existence of establishments in the villages, the townships and the small towns, in as far as infrastructure capable of igniting tourism activities are concerned, they are almost non-existent. In the small towns it's better. But when you go to the villages and the townships, there's a little Yana B&B there, another one there, and so on. And when you look at funding in South Africa for the last 26 years, funding for tourism, economic activities in South Africa and empowerment has been skewed. The stupidity of funding in as far as tourism is concerned has been favoring the big cities, which is your Durban, Cape Town, Port Elizabeth, Johannesburg, Pretoria. So for the last 26 years, we haven't made much progress in as far as changing the status quo is concerned. We are also struggling in Parliament to get information directly from the ground in as far as tourism activities are concerned, in as far as doing oversight on the benefits on the ground is concerned. That is why the committee thought police in the provinces, we must work together to make sure that we establish this legislature tourism oversight forum, which will then help us to ensure that we have a presence in every village, in every township, in every informal settlement, in every small town throughout South Africa, so that we can then be able, when we do oversight, to state the village. There's this list of villages throughout South Africa. They are not benefiting from tourism, the townships, the small towns, same thing. So that we can push the agenda to make sure that from an economic perspective, specifically based on tourism, the people who are languishing in poverty also benefit something. And as a community, we're not calling for the dismantling of what is existing in the form of tourism economic activities patterns in Gauteng, in Western Cape, and in KZN. No, we are not calling for it. We are not saying you must now stop the tourism economy which are existing in Durban, in Cape Town, Johannesburg, and so on. We are saying the time has now come to allow tourism, because it can sustain itself in the big cities, we must now begin to shift our focus to a village, to a township, to an informal settlement, and to a small town. So we are now going to give the Dr. Kudwa an opportunity to do a presentation on the paper we have developed, which is in the form of a framework, which will be sent to provinces. I hope provinces have gone through it. And then we can have a discussion. The other matter we're going to be dealing with today is some kind of small briefings from provinces on how they are working and the extent to which they have made progress in giving us information that relates to the total number of villages we have, the total number of townships we have, and the total number of small towns we have. Because if we don't quantify, honorable members, if we don't quantify and get the real true number of these villages, the townships and the small towns, we'll not be able to drill down deeper in as far as new oversight of the ability around tourism is concerned. We'll not be able to advance the course of making sure that the people on the ground can know where the opportunities within tourism are, so that we can participate as entrepreneurs in the tourism sector. Over to you, Ndate, Dr. Kudwa, your end. With that, members and our counterparts in provinces, you are welcome. Ndate Kudwa, you proceed.
This man is
unmuted.
It's a recap check. Thank you from... We are saying the recap of the meeting we had with the provincial legislatures when we first discussed the issue of the DOCO. And honorable members will recall that the way input made by provinces in the concept paper and the terms of reference. So I'll just present a redacted version of that concept paper and the terms of reference. The detail is in the document itself. It was circulated to the provincial legislatures together with other documentation. So I won't be dwelling much on the terms of reference per se. I will concentrate more on the objectives. Then I'll cruise through the other issues in the TOR due to time constraints, Chairperson. If you can scroll down, Sureshni, to the objectives, scroll down again. The introduction has been covered basically by the Chairperson in terms of why there was a need to develop this structure. So the purpose mainly is to align and strengthen oversight over tourism development and marketing between Parliament, Portugal Tourism and the provincial legislature. That means between Parliament and any other bodies that might assist in coordinating tourism led by the chairpersons in their jurisdictions and provinces. So the objective, therefore, one is to institutionalize the arrangement so that we have a structure that might coordinate between Parliament and provincial legislatures to strengthen oversight and also to identify important areas of cooperation among the executive or the department and work together between the department and the oversight arms of the state to ensure that those cross-cutting issues are addressed. If I can make an example, the Legislative Tourism Oversight Forum might, for example, identify issues with the Department of Transport in terms of road infrastructure, in terms of licensing of vehicles, in terms of the airlift strategy, in terms of ASA, which is the entity of transport, and say these are the issues that do not necessarily reside within the Department of Tourism, but affect provinces. Then we will then, as the Legislative Tourism Oversight Forum, look at how then dealing with this issue together with provinces, we can then strike a balance in terms of what the executive does and how that filters all the way to the provincial level. That will be important because if you look at what is happening, for example, with the early strategy, we find that we have provinces that are far ahead of others in terms of the early strategy and others are lagging behind. So if this forum then says this is one of the areas of cooperation that needs to be addressed, then it will become, for example, like a standing item so that you can track how ELMIF is coordinated among provinces, therefore at a national level. So another objective is to facilitate the adoption mechanism, then to say, okay, once they've identified these issues, what will be the mechanism to then deal with those issues? And then you are looking at also promoting and facilitating collaboration and cooperation in the oversight across the legislature itself. Because what happens normally, when Parliament goes to provinces, for example, they are not accompanied by the provincial legislature. So this forum will ensure that if Parliament goes to a particular province, in a collaborative and cooperative manner, the provincial legislature is part of the delegation and oversight work that is done by not just Parliament, but the legislative sector as a whole. Therefore, the purpose will be to integrate provincial legislatures as integral part of oversight work done by Parliament. And that will assist in promoting constant communication among all stakeholders, because if Parliament conducts its oversight and the legislatures are there, it's easy to then get to municipalities, even to the villages and townships, as the chairperson was outlining earlier. But also is to share best practices and benchmarks, because we find that some provinces are doing better in certain areas, others are lacking. For example, we'll find that if you look at the province like Limpopo, it's far ahead in terms of domestic tourism, while others are far behind. There might be issues that make Limpopo to be far ahead. But as a group, the legislative sector can then look at the best practices in terms of such issues and then have learning from those to say how then do we move forward from those benchmarking exercises. Moving ahead, next slide. Can I have the next slide, please? Then looking at the roles and responsibilities, in terms of funding, we are saying the DOPO will be funded by Parliament, but also the respective legislature, depending on where the meeting will be hosted, because mainly the funding will be in terms of venues, maybe, and refreshments of meetings. So it's not a huge cost. It will, if, for example, the meeting is held in Cape Town, Parliament has to provide the venue if it is hosted by Parliament. But if it is hosted by the Western Cape government, then Western Cape will have to provide venue and refreshment. So it's mainly around the logistical arrangement of the meeting. And in the main, then the role of the forum, one is to provide a platform for the legislative sector to discuss national, provincial and local tourism issues. Also to serve as a consultative structure. If there are issues, for example, we are dealing with COVID-19 at the moment, so we can then use this structure to look at how the response is coordinated at a and how the response by the national filters down to the provincial level. Also, to serve as an advisory board or as a peer review mechanism to say if, as we're saying earlier, we have provinces that are doing well in certain aspects of tourism. So it can then act as an advisory board or a peer review mechanism to ensure that other provinces as well upgrade their oversight work or tourism development and marketing in general. So from time to time, there might be national campaigns to drive tourism development based on the agenda items or priorities that the forum will identify. Then based on those, then there might be national campaigns. For example, if we say that transformation, for example, is taken as an issue that needs to be addressed at a national level. So every province will have to then flesh on that particular campaign, and it will be monitored by the structure to say how then are we faring on those particular aspects. Then also it will work to identify the chairperson alluded to the challenge in dealing with issues on the ground as a village, as a township, or a small dropping level. So the structure will assist in identifying people or organizations at a ground level that can assist in oversight and therefore development and marketing. Also, the structure will help as a liaison with municipalities, because as the chair was saying, you have a lot of challenges at a municipal level. So there will be priorities identified at a national level, but then the provinces will be at a full phase in terms of ensuring that such national priorities are addressed. For example, if we look at how we are ensuring that tourism is integrated in the IPP, it will then be a matter of the forum to say we want to ensure that all provinces assist municipalities in ensuring that tourism is part of the IPP. So that is a matter that can be tracked when the forum needs to say in this particular province we have so many municipalities, then we look at their IPPs if tourism has been integrated accordingly. Moving forward to the next slide, the guiding principles, I will just cruise over this chair, is that the committee felt that it should conduct its oversight in its effect, but in so doing, not be antagonistic and collaborate in a collaborative manner and reciprocative approach of oversight and work with all provinces, meaning what is happening at a national level should also be happening at a provincial in terms of tracking key strategic issues in terms of tourism, but also aligning with national, provincial and local oversight activities, thus achieving effective and efficient oversight. And then there will be resolution. So the principle will be every resolution taken by the forum must be a kind of binding, so that when tracking is done, it is every province, including parliament, can account in terms of the implementation of those resolutions. Then the issue of communication and transparency when dealing with issues of the forum. With regard to the duration, Chair, it will not be dissolved. It will start now in this parliament, but the suggestion as discussed in the last meeting was to say the forum should not be dissolved, but the legacy report for the fifth parliament will recommend to the seventh parliament that such a structure should continue. Moving ahead to the terms of reference. Next slide. The composition will be the chairperson of the portfolio committee on tourism, and then the chairperson of the portfolio committees responsible for tourism in provinces, the chairperson of the National House of Traditional Leadership, the chairperson of SAGA, and parliamentary legislators support staff. But this chairperson does not exclude members. It will be all members of by invitation by their chairperson. It's just that at a structural level, it's just the chairperson that form part of the structure, but it does not preclude others from joining. Then there will be other members that will be joining the forum by invitation, like the chairperson of South African Tourism, the chairperson of the TPPSA, the chairperson of provincial strategic management organizations, that is in terms of particularly the marketing function, then the minister, the director general from time to time might be requested to join the meeting. Sometimes ministers of other sector departments, MSPs responsible for tourism, the head of department, and the chairperson of portfolio committees responsible for tourism at a major district or even local municipalities, particularly when there are road shows or the round robin of the forum meeting. Then, in terms of research, because the chairperson of the forum, the chairperson of the portfolio committee on tourism in parliament will be the permanent chairperson. However, he will be hosting meetings with the chairperson of provinces if the meetings are held in various provinces. So he remains the chairperson of the PC at a national level. Remains a permanent one, but will be a co-chair with the provincial chairperson. And in case of a chairperson or at a provincial level or national not available, then the whip of the PC at a national level will become a member, and then vice versa with the province. So it is the chairperson or the whip in terms of chairing meetings. And then, in case of the issues which will be dealing with other issues, because you'll find that there will be many other issues that will have to be dealt with by the forum. So the chairperson will decide from time to time how those issues are handled. But the comprehensive, as I said, this is a redacted version, the comprehensive document carries all the details in terms of the general administration or the secretariat. The secretariat in parliament will anchor the forum, but this will be done in partnership with the provincial support staff, and the dissemination of the agenda items will be submitted to the secretariat and distributed before meetings, and the time frames are all contained in the document. Then the meeting will be convened quarterly, and then the minutes also will be dealt with by the secretariat at a national level in collaboration with the hosting provinces. Then also the identification of issues. Now, there are issues of reporting, chairperson. With regards to reporting, in those quarterly meetings, each province will be requested to provide a brief report in terms of the current state of affairs in the provinces whenever the meetings are held. So it will be a standing reporting item that every province will be given a chance to have input in every meeting, chairperson. And moving ahead, should there be any issue that needs to be resolved by the forum, the Intergovernmental Relations Act will be followed in terms of the provisions there. There are guidelines for effective conflict and management contained in international framework. So that will be done so that they are not disputes, particularly in terms of resolutions and any other matter that might arise, chairperson. Moving forward, now there are issues that will chat with some of the issues chairperson has touched on. What is currently happening with the parliamentary process? The terms of reference have been submitted to parliament, and also attached to that is the memorandum of understanding that was, if I'm not mistaken, circulated to provinces, and that needs to be finalized. We are still awaiting the response from the support staff. Chairperson point of view in terms of how the documents are then formalized by parliament. So it is the terms of reference as sent to the legislature for this particular meeting together with the memorandum of understanding that is still vetted by parliament legal services. Then after that has been done, then the the forum will be finalized. So we will request that the provinces maybe go through the same process so that they are not excused later to say maybe the forum was not duly constituted and so on. So as Parliament, as we are going through the process of vetting this document, so the request that the provinces also do the same thing, so that the final document are kind of taken create some dispute later. And also, there was a request that the provinces should send the list of their villages to the Secretariat. The National House of Representatives has made an undertaking that they will assist in that regard. But provinces are requested to ensure that they facilitate that process so that we can move to the last point, Chair, of the formalization of village tourism forum, because a part of the implementation, as the Chair alluded earlier, that there will be village tourism forum at a local level. There will be people identified by provinces together in parties that will assist to raise this issue so that you always have current issues that are filtering through two provinces and eventually to the national level. I try to summarize the document, Chairperson. That is where I end it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Dr. Kudwai. Our colleague from the rest of the province, Dr. Kudwai, is one of the support staff to the Tourism Portfolio Committee. He's with the Devil team, who is the administrator of the committee. He also has Louis Gomez, the chairman of the...
It's not Zuko.
Oh, not Zuko. Sorry, no. I'm not putting... Hey, sorry. Okay. My apologies. Yeah, so that is the doctor about the presentation. So what I remember, the intention here is that includes, among other things, how a success must attend to the issue of transformation in the tourism sector. You will see when you read the document that it's one of the issues you think requires continuous attention. We have taken a decision as the National Parliament Portfolio Committee that September every year we are starting this week. We are going to be informing South Africans on the extent to which we think the tourism sector is transforming or has transformed and what else must be done to accelerate transformation. So the future generation can inherit from us a better transformed tourism sector in the Republic of South Africa. We will give provinces to comment and start moving forward. I will request that in your comments, Honorable Member, you also just indicate when do you think we can be able to receive information that relates to the total number of villages in your province, total number of townships, total number of small villages. The reason why we must generate this information like that is because it's not there in the SSA. We have tried from several locations, but we can't stop generating that information ourselves. As Dr. Kudwai was saying, the chair of the National House of Traditional Leaders, when we met with them and they also approved the approach, we agreed to work with us and they will give us the list of villages. So we will see how far we go. Bumalanga?
Okay, it's Honorable Lexi Haren from Bumalanga. I'm the chairperson for the Portfolio Committee on Economic Development and My view is that in fact we welcome and appreciate the invitation to attend this meeting. We weren't invited in December, and our fallback was with regard to the information relating to townships. Nevertheless, thank you for the invitation. And the perspective coming from national, we appreciate it, because I feel like with the provincial and national sphere operating independently, economically, it's a question of responsibility. So while as in Mpumalanga legislature, we might give attention to a specific part of tourism, national might not know, the national that of the same. So I welcome that part that we are taking to make sure that there's no duplication of attention given throughout the province. My side, I've always said that tourism is one of the departments that helps us to create jobs for 12 people in the country. What concerns me is that mostly our guest houses and our bed and breakfasts in the townships are not given the proper attention they deserve. So you won't have the similar branding in a township than what you would have in the city. And I think we need to assist our people there in the townships to get them the necessary grades. So when people are visiting from abroad, they can visit these historic venues. But I think as Mpumalanga province, we also take our province tourism for granted. So we are taking Kruger National Park, we are taking our water window, our reservoir as a norm. Every year it should be a norm that this is the only tourism places that we can visit. And I always say in our community, you know, I take my hat off to KZN, who went one step further from to the Moses Mabhida Stadium. I visited the stadium and it delighted me to see that even after the stadium was built, there is still production that's taking place on the stadium itself. Which is why I say Mbombela takes it in need to utilize that stadium so that it can bring in funds as well. On my side, I feel that also our tourist attractions need to be maintained. Yes, it is there, but the proper maintenance needs to be there, so it meets the adequate level. And we have lovely mountains. I always say that, why do we have to go to Western Cape with the Table Mountain, when Mpumalanga has lovely mountains across the province? So we need to utilize that and come up with ideas. And as a youngest member of the legislature in Mpumalanga, I feel that we need to give young opinions and young people. Yeah, those are my views. Thank you again.
Thank you, Honorable Earth. Let us go to Kenya then. Eastern Cape.
Thank you very much, Chair. I hope you can hear me well.
You are very audible,
Thank you very much, Chair. Let me start with the submission of information. I'm a bit handicapped for today because my coordinator is writing exams, and I instructed him as we're coming back from Cape Town last year to facilitate and submit the information, as it relates to small towns as well as villages and all the information that was required in the last meeting. But okay. I will only be able, Honourable Chair, to make you ascertain whether the information reached your offices by Monday next week. That's okay. One. In relation to the document, we welcome it as the province, and we can see that it's going to be able to make sure that as we do the oversight work, we can be able to coordinate our activities as the whole country so that we do not sit in a corner as one province and deal with a tourism issue. Of course, as Eastern Cape, as much as we think we are the tourism destination of choice, our infrastructure backlog is affecting our tourism basis and some of the issues we need to be able to deal with by us as well as some intervention from the national government.
Thank you very much. Let's go to Western Cape.
Honourable Chair, this is Ola van der Westhuizen, member of the Western Cape Committee on Finance, but also the Economic Development and Tourism. I do see that our Chair, for whom we've submitted an apology earlier, wrote and received a response from the Department of Economic Development and Tourism towards the end of last year, and I was surprised when you stated in your invitation that that report hasn't been forwarded to you. It's dated the 9th of December last year, and I presume that it emanated from an earlier request to you. But what I can tell you is that we've got a list, or the head of department listed 100 towns and settlements in terms of settlement classification and municipal location. Then also there were 67 townships listed. Now, in some of our smaller dorpies, you know, the townships are not recognized as separate from the, I just want to say, the central activity of those smaller towns. But we've got that list and we can certainly forward it to you if it hasn't been done to date. I don't know if you would like me to just expand on some of the initiatives that I don't know that you say I can continue. Chair, in Western Cape, we've been working very hard on the promotion of what we call, for example, home sales, and also the marketing of that. Also, restaurants serving traditional food and having cultural activities such as dances, etc., which seem to be very popular amongst particularly your international tourists. And then what I can point out is that an investment in training has also seen quite a significant expansion there, although a lot of work still needs to be done in allowing people to set up their own chapel services, to act as tourism guides, particularly people specializing in things such as township tours, heritage tours, and also obviously with our wonderful natural beauty in the Western Cape, people taking groups of tourists, particularly smaller groups on hikes, on cycling excursions, and also informing them about the wonderful biodiversity that we have here in the Western Cape. So while there are a lot of what I would call green fields, young initiatives, obviously I need to point out to you that many of these people have been hit extremely hard by the lockdown activities, the fears of tourists, and also obviously the fact that tourism has not been seen as an essential service, as one can probably understand. But I can just assure you that, you know, many of these young and smaller tourism initiatives have been going through a very, very hard time over the last few months. And we do hope that with the necessary hygiene regulations, there will be a return and there will be a bright future for these entrepreneurs. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honourable Member, for the briefing, and we apologize for indicating in the report that we have not submitted the report as was requested. That will be corrected. Don't worry. And thanks for the briefing. Okay.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just by way of introduction again, my name is Honourable Cecilia Hassan, to everybody tuning in from home. I'm here representing Gauteng as the acting chairperson. A few things. I think let me first comment on what has been presented, and then I'll speak a little bit about what we've got here. I think the first thing we know, all of us, that the tourism sector has been ultimately decimated by COVID-19. And I see a huge opportunity with this legislative oversight forum to rebuild the tourism sector and to rebuild it in a way that's far more efficient and I think far more useful, not just to us as lawmakers, but really to the public and to the people we represent. So first thing on that, it is a slow process. I agree with you when you spoke around accelerating transformation. We need to take that and put that at the top of the agenda. Training and funding need to be fundamental. So we're not just saying we're transforming the sector, we're actually giving opportunities, particularly to marginalized groups. And that includes, and I must always raise young people. I know the member, honourable member from Mpumalanga also mentioned she's the youngest MPL. I'm also the youngest MPL in Gauteng. I'm 36. I'm part of this generation. So we must put young people at the forefront. And also because there's huge opportunities for us to train, upskill and employ young people in the space. So I think there's a big opportunity there. Of course, like I said, marginalized groups, including women, people living with disabilities, and even to a large extent, share the LGBTQIA+ community, who are historically and even currently being marginalized and being abused and are even finding it very difficult to get jobs in the mainstream economy. And there's something we can assist in there. And I think that will really help break sort of older, untransformed patterns of tourism. So yes, I agree that's an excellent idea, and I quite like the idea that it's similar to what we would call the ministerial MEC meetings, because it forces us to touch base every few quarters, and I think it's, like I said, going to solve issues faster. There's also the local thing that some issues are local, some are provincial, some are national. And I think this forum will help us identify who needs to do what. So we may need national legislation, or we may need provincial intervention, and this will be quite a big opportunity for us. And now let me just answer your initial request. So like I said, I'm the acting chairperson. We have in fact forwarded this request to our, we have also the Housing and Tourism Authority, GTA, and we're waiting on response from that. But just an apology from our side, it's taking a bit longer than expected just due to the change in chairpersonship at the moment. And then lastly, from Gauteng's side, but I think it's really important to mention that I spoke about the impact of COVID-19 and our ability to rebuild the tourism sector. But recently, we conducted a focused intervention study at FIS, particularly on tourism and destination marketing. And as the portfolio committee, we felt that the province is not doing enough to reposition Gauteng as a destination of choice, especially with a focus on township tourism. Right now, we're examining the existing strategies, but we're still under a lot of pressure. And ultimately, this has actually resulted in the Gauteng provincial government, through the Department of Economic Development, and ultimately the Tourism Authority, they're going to be implementing the 20 million rand over the MTS, but they're also working with the Premier's office to review and introduce a new destination marketing and brand strategy for the province. And that strategy is going to take into account at the top there the plight of the township tourism economy and how we can reconfigure the tourism portfolio in our province, which is mainly deferred, biased towards established sort of sites and tourism sectors, but more to providing opportunities to the smaller, not necessarily companies, but even people who are providing tourism opportunities. So hopefully in the next quarter, we'll be able to present back on the feedback and really where we are on that. But for us, it's really around transforming. And the last thing is, Gauteng will be the gateway. Hopefully in the next 2 years, anyone who comes to the country will be coming through Gauteng. And we will be providing something as we go along through that. And that will hopefully create more job jobs
of opportunities, especially for young people, especially for women. Well done.
Yes.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Honorable Hassan. Thank you very much. And we must thank and salute Gauteng and Mpumalanga for employing the youth. The youth are the future. In as far as deploying them, in as far as sort of the follow committee is concerned. So we are your products and we will continue to be indebted to young people. Thank you very much for that. Let's go to the Fraser. Fraser is not there. Northern Cape. Dr. Volkina, it looks like he hasn't been recording the meeting. Doctor. Doctor, who's what? Just make sure that it looks like Dr. Volkina can hear you, that the meeting or students have been recorded.
Yeah, I've been trying to communicate with him. I'll keep on checking him, sir.
Okay. Nuroka.
Chair, it feels like we are not there because the young ones from out there in Malanga, they are there.
April, you are welcome. You are welcome. Northwest, Mubanukuri.
Thanks, Chair. My apology, I won't be able to reach the video on because of the network problem, but the person at the end here is the one who is in control. So I'm just going to
proceed. Yeah, proceed, we can see.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Let me thank for the opportunity. I think part of what I'm going to say the committee through is actually what we have presented in December. And the chair was not there, however, we managed to send the staff of the committee, but in brief, we managed to consolidate in terms of profiling. The approach was that we activated our research staff, including part of the oversight that we communicated with both municipalities and the department such that we are able to get to each and every corner of the province. And as a result, we then came to a conclusion through the information that is verified by the department that the province is having 678 villages, 107 townships and 37 small towns. That's basically the three that forms the Northwest Province. And the villages and the townships and small villages, as indicated, is actually broken down into districts as well as municipalities. So this is where we are as the committee. We are able to have a better understanding. Our province is having four districts and we are able to locate the number of villages per district, per municipality, which then breaks down even in a municipality into how many villages per ward. So what we are now zooming into now is to get into even the profiling of the municipalities through their IDPs to check how they plan, because we are interested in getting their plans being informed by the profile of the whole province per their municipality. That work is done and verified. The task at hand as of now, Honorable Chair, is that we have now resolved as a committee in terms of how we're going to approach the oversight. We have then resolved as a committee that the oversight focus, when we deal with tourism, we will have to look into the oversight per district. For every setup of the department, we will have to reflect on how the performance of the department is being carried in terms of the statistics. To say when they are bringing to the committee, how they are doing, they will have to reflect it per district, per municipality, and per villages, per townships, and per small dorping. How the department integrates the district development model. We have also received the presentation from the department when they were giving their 5-year strategy plan and their draft APPs, and we have then influenced the planning of the department such that it talks to the issues that relate to what we want to achieve in terms of reflecting performance on villages, townships and small
towns. We had a bit of argument here, if I am to relate to the committee, on a better understanding of the department in relation to the difference between the villages and the rural areas. There's a slight difference, in fact, there's a vast difference between villages and rural areas. When you get to the northwest, when you drive from Mahikeng to Vryburg, there is a mine on the other side. That mine is in a rural area. But there is a village called Setakul. So there's a difference, and that's why we appreciate the initiative of starting to classify this as villages, because there are also farms which are in the rural areas, which are actually at the level of the economic or commercial farming. And yet we also have villages in the same areas where people are not yet at the stage of being commercial. Now, we also concentrated here on exploring the COVID-19 opportunity in terms of the tourism sector.
It looks like you have lost the connection to the honorable member from the Northwest of the community, the honorable Kupani. That's part of the challenges of infrastructure in as far as connectivity is concerned. We hope she will be able to come back. Honorable members of the Postal Committee, I don't know if you are able to clarify our colleagues from the provinces on some issues. One of the issues raised, for instance, is around grazing. So I was going to see if you can just indicate our interaction with the grazing council and what our proposals are, so that our provincial collective can be at the same level of understanding on that particular matter.
Chairperson, members and colleagues.
The network is not that good.
Hello?
Honorable Makubela, the network is not good. Honorable Muteka, can you maybe look for provinces on our attitude and proposal in as far as the use of the grading council is concerned?
First and foremost, this collaborative effort we are doing as the legislature conducts our oversight work. We believe that as we put our resources, we can be the next episode. Let me show the video then. Am I audible now?
We can't see you.
Okay, no, no. Honorable Speaker will be continuing.
Yeah, your network is not very good. That's true.
Then I think I will not speak. Perhaps another honorable member.
No, now we can hear you.
now you are here. Now you are here.
She is audible now, yes.
Yeah, you are audible.
Okay, thank you. Okay, thank you, Chairperson. It was just an appreciation of the work that we are doing in our collaborative at the National Parliament together with the legislators to ensure that our oversight work is done in a collaborative manner, in a way that we can be able to leverage on what we call systems of scale. When we put together our resources, we believe that we can be able to stretch to even reach further than what we were going to reach if we were still working in silo. Chairperson, allow me to perhaps take the honourable members on board on the work that we have done that in terms of yes, Chairperson, am I audible now?
Yes. Yeah, you keep on breaking, but can you also switch on your video?
Yes.
Honorable Gumba, we can see you are on now. Welcome. Yeah, we can proceed, Honorable Makulela.
Thank you, Chair.
Okay. You're welcome, Honorable Gumba.
We have interacted with the creative aspect of the tourism value chain to ensure that the basket of goods or the incentives are around the trading model are enticing enough for establishments to be able to see the value of trade. Because we believe that trade plays an important and integral part of the tourism value chain, because it talks to the quality of the tourism product. It also talks to the value for the money in which a tourist is able to spend, and it also talks to the value of the tourism, because you want to buy a product which you can be able to quantify and value. It also talks to our visitor experience. But we have seen things to the work that for the basket of products that put within the tourist, within the grading space, have challenges. Now, as a portfolio
I think you must mute, you must just mute my teacher. Yeah, you are not audible. Yeah. But basically, honorable members, the point we are making around the grading council issue is that as the entire sector, we must push for grading to be compulsory. But that grading should not be at the cost of those who own establishments, particularly those who are poor. So the discussions between us and the department are such that in terms of the white paper process, which the department is embarking upon, which according to the minister should be concluded before the end of the next financial year, it must take into account the recommendation we have made around the issue of grading, including the criteria that the grading council uses to grade your establishment. So we hope that going forward, that matter will be attended to by the department working together with the grading council. The other matter that was raised, we could welcome honorable members from provinces, is making sure that our approach of ensuring presence of tourism in every village, in every township, in every small town throughout South Africa is based or is done in the context of the district model. So we agree with that proposal, we agree with that approach, that because the executive is adopting an approach that is informed by the district model. As a committee, when we look at tourism prevalence in every village, in every township and small town, we will do that in the context of the district. So, and within the district, we'll look at having our legislative tourism oversight forum at the district, and also at the municipal level, and also at the lowest level, which is the village, the township, and the small town. So we agree with you in as far as that particular proposal is concerned. I also think that we agree as the committee working together with our provinces that maybe what we should do is to give provinces until the end of July for us to receive information as it relates to the total number of villages that are there in every province. We will request that that information, when it comes, must come to how many villages and townships and small towns are in each one of the districts, each one of the municipalities. Because we'll then have to work with municipalities to ensure that we intensify oversight on this particular matter. Honorable members of the committee, I don't know if there are other issues that you think you would also want to emphasize to our counterparts in province. So, Honorable Boteka.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. There's not much, just I'm concerned, Chairperson, because I see other provinces didn't attend this meeting as they did in December. So it means for them they are going to start from zero. Let me also commend those who have attended the meeting. More especially Northwest. You see, what they have presented here, it shows how it has been taken this initiative by the portfolio committee. Because they went down to the villages, the small towns and all those things. That's the kind of information we need to do. Since then, and I don't understand why people who are leading the provinces, people who are leading, those who need this improvement and the services are not taking this initiative. Because the main purpose of this portfolio committee of the six parliament is to make sure that the most village child is benefiting out of tourism. But now, it's going to be a very slow chairperson. I don't know what power can we use to force tourists to comply. Because Western Cape and housing, although they seem to do here and there, but it is something different. And they attended the meeting. But those are the poorest provinces that they are not doing. So it's very worrying. It's worrying, gentlemen. I just want to comment on something from Western Cape. I had the presenter saying, they didn't separate townships from the central activities.
No.
So I want to understand what does it mean? Because we want to we want to be in Kalinja. And Kalinja cannot be combined to BG. Otherwise, when we do oversight, we'll be confused and we won't get our point there. I just want to understand that point of saying the limit different township from the central activity. What does it mean? Because we want the township to be separated so that our oversight can identify whether it is in Philippines there is improvement, in Kalinja there is improvement like that. So I just want clarity on that. And then after all, I'm disappointed to improve with other areas that they never attend this meeting. Whereas they are in the core, they are the core of the whole thing.
Thank you very much. Honorable Komba.
Thank you very much, Chair. And Chair, let me
talk to you. Please. Honorable member.
Chair?
Just speak on your video.
Well, yes. Okay. I'm here, Chair. Yes. Chair, let me start by appreciating the attendance of the members of the following provinces, Western Cape, Gauteng, Mpumalanga, and Northwest. Chair, I have the same concern and Eastern Cape. Okay, Eastern Cape. Yes, I saw that I missed one province here. Thank you very much for the correction, Chair. And I'm worried, Chair, the same as Honorable Muteka, to say that Free State, Limpopo, Northern Cape, and KZN were not part of this important meeting. And my question is, are we taken seriously as the members of the committee, especially the national and national parliament of the Republic of South Africa? There's a certain somewhere, Chair, I'm not sure who's opening the microphone while we are speaking.
Honorable members, if you can just mute your microphone.
Yes, because they are disturbing us, Chair. Thank you very much. Chair, my worry here is if we have to blend together and we find someone
who can be put off their microphone.
Thank you very much. Am I audible, Chair?
Yeah, you're audible. You can be brief because there's a 15-minute 2 o'clock.
Yes, Chair, I'm aware of that. So I wanted to also raise the fact that we really need to make a follow-up. We cannot just leave this unattended, because this can actually grow to become a habit of undermining the call by the National Parliament Tourism Portfolio Committee. Chair, the issue here is I'm very much also impressed about the Northwest presentation that shows that they are profiling tourism establishments. They also have made sure that they actually allocate their villages according to the district and made 4 districts out of it, and profiling of municipalities in tourism. So I am very much also impressed about it. It means they know exactly what our portfolio committee is intending to do. Chair, the Western Cape did not actually elaborate much on the townships and villages and the rural areas, or if I can say that, which shows that the interest is not there for those ones that we think that they are, they really need our support as a committee to ensure that they also grow. Chair, I also want to advise all the provinces, including the ones that are not here and those ones which are here, to say they need to also ensure that the local municipalities are looking at drafting proper master plans for tourism, because that is where the problem starts, Chair.
if the master plan of the local municipality is not up to scratch, it even becomes very difficult for the Department of Tourism to assist in terms of funding. I thank you so much.
Okay, thank you very much. Honorable Abrams. Honorable Abrams. Okay, it doesn't look like Honorable Abrams is there. Just before we wrap up, is there any problem that you want to clarify one or two things?
Chair, that speaks well, please.
Chair, I would like to respond.
Who is that?
Chair, Honorable Mitchell from the Western Cape.
Yes.
The process as well, please.
Greg Cromwell, please.
Just before
we wrap
up, just before you come on, Honorable Cromwell, proceed.
I'll speak of the Francis and Honorable Mitchell with that
question. Or another question. What's your Honorable Mitchell, please?
Thank you very much, Chair. Thank you for the opportunity. Chair, I want to clarify the statement that was made. Firstly, let me from the outset say that the presentation or the submission by the Western Cape was merely a summary of what has already been submitted to the committee. I want to state under townships, the 67 townships as identified and as submitted to the committee have been identified in alignment used by the National Treasury Neighbourhood Development Programme, and that definition has been used. So it's incorrect for the committee to believe that there's no focus on township or rural tourism in the Western Cape. In fact, the City of Cape Town, as the municipality, has a focus on township tourism as well as the Western Cape through various stakeholders, but in particular the Westgrow, who is ultimately tasked on behalf of work with the Western Cape government to do township and rural tourism in the province. So the perception that is being created that there's no focus on township and rural tourism is incorrect. Thank you, Jay.
Okay, thanks for
that,
Larry. So Honorable
I just wanted to ask a question bearing in mind the nature of our meeting today. The role as we interact with each other as members of the Portfolio Committee at the National Assembly level, the NEC, the provincial level, and then of course the various officials and elected representatives at municipal level. We are guided obviously by the Constitution, which promotes cooperative governance, and that's the way it should be. But if I can just draw an example, for example, to our oversight visit, which was also attended by the province and the municipality to the Howick Falls. Since then, the situation, and it's been a while since we were there now, has considerably worsened. And it begs the question as to what the role of the municipality is when province and national try to work together with them to try and improve things. Can we get some guidance as to how these matters ought to be taken forward when there is a intra-government, all three spheres of the government do ostensibly cooperate? But then the recommendations that you enumerate with the help of the liaison officer of the department are actually not implemented. And in fact, now we've had something akin to a land invasion. And the situation has got very, very much worse since you were there. I'd like some clarity as to how we can get the municipalities to work with us so that these trips don't simply become a tick box exercise and actually end up in a situation where we might as well not have done it all. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Chair, can you hear me? Chair?
This is Honorable Gallo.
The Francis, yeah?
Oh, Honorable
Francis. Yeah. May I go ahead?
Yeah, proceed.
Chair, I know we're running out of time, so I'm going to quickly thank all the provinces for being here. I just wanted to make a following comment to make sure one of the provincial delegates, you know, kind of compares their province with another. And I think we must have the mindset to understand that we have nine different unique provinces. And we must look at things that those provinces have without worrying or comparing ourselves with another province. So that was my first point. And it's also when the presentations being made, it's talked about how certain provinces are doing better in certain aspects than others. And my point is the reality is because the provinces are different, they either some provinces will do better in certain aspects than others. But as long as they're all working in those different tourism sectors, that's the matter. The reality is that we're not always going to be the same because the provinces are so unique and different. I just wanted to bring as well, if we could just make a note that as part of this forum, we need to somehow also include local governments. I think that Honourable Cronbach has covered some of it. I'm most concerned, you'll see I put right in your letter as an example, is the Howick, I use that because we were there, the Howick Falls example, where we need to make sure that local government actually does what they need to do, and then we have a Cape and a state, because then we have a situation where I've seen the state has been worse than we were there. And then my last point is that we need to, this is going to be coordination, which you'll see here, so the members coordinate and co-create that, and I think this is a great initiative to start where we are now. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Honorable Director. Honorable Lemkopani, I can see you are there. You got cut. Anyone from Rafa?
Could I please, Bombi also, I had my hand up sometimes. I just want to make a quick comment.
Sorry, Honorable Bombi.
Okay, sure.
Well, thanks very much. Okay, thanks very much, Chairperson. Thanks very much, Chairperson. I think there were some comments made around the grading thing, and you did speak to it as well. But I think we must also just be clear around the grading thing, because we've had some answers, not only in questions that I submitted, but as well as answers in the portfolio committee when it was presented, which speak to the average cost being around the region of, the one answer was around 4,700 rand, the other answer was over 5,000 rand in terms of the average cost of grading per annum. And even that goes with all these incentives that are being given out to profits, to drop the cost. And the clear thing that which sort of agreement on, which we thought, and which certainly is the position that we stand on, is that grading should ultimately be free of charge. So what often happens, especially in politics, is that you have your officials who come in, and then they put you into a position that they want you to take. And then as politicians, they lead you by the nose and say that almost you should take that position that they've decided on. And I think we should be steadfast in our positions. The second part goes to the part that my colleagues have spoken about, more eloquently so by Honourable Cromwell. And what we, in essence, is that we need to, as a portfolio committee, have a clear-cut schedule it oftentimes comes with resolutions when we do oversight visits, and where we work in terms of a cooperative governance space to try to get certain things done which benefits province, local, and national. So Howick Falls was this very specific example. And we should just assume, at this point in time, that local government is actually in a poor state, and that more often than not, the likelihood is that even after these interactions, things aren't implemented. And therefore, if we say that by January we expect certain outcomes, a standing invitation should already be sitting, whether it's with that municipality or wherever, to come and present of the outcomes of that. So that the portfolio committee isn't a portfolio committee that basically puts his hands up and say that, it's not in our terrain, there's nothing we can do, but we also take accountability and responsibility to ensure that it happens as the oversight body. But thanks, Chief.
Okay, thanks, Honorable Bumbi. Memalem Kupani, you can see you are back now. You got cut. Do you want to wrap up? Honorable Lemkopani? Okay, it doesn't look like Honorable Lemkopani can hear us. Honorable members, I think there are no other members of the committee who want to say something, and our colleagues from the province, we can then...
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Only one thing that I want to put on the provinces can give us the list of activities that are happening in their districts, because it can help us to monitor on what are they doing in their municipalities, because we say sometimes it is very good if you have the information that will inform you what you can do. And the other purpose is the capacity, if they can give us the capacity of their staff, because of their officials, because one day I went to a visit to Uganda, I found that most of the officials that are working in the local municipalities actually don't understand what is happening in the tourism sector. So if they can actually give us some program of the capacitation that they have in their municipalities, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you very much. What is Honorable Gallo? Who wanted to say something? Okay, members of the portfolio committee from Parliament, is there any other member who still wants to say something? Okay, thank
Honorable you. Honorable Chair.
Yes, who is that? Is it Honorable Gallo?
Yes,
sir. Okay, Honorable Gallo.
Can you hear me?
Honorable Bomba, you want to speak again?
Yes, Chair.
Honorable Gallo, proceed.
Can you hear me, Chair?
Yeah, proceed. Can't work in your Cuba.
Okay. Chair, the document, Honorable Chair, I just wanted to add something on your objectives, like the establishment of municipal tourism oversight forums at that level. Because if you get a report from other provinces, you will feel that the local municipalities are not working on establishing the tourism program. Lastly, I must commend some of the provinces that have attended this virtual meeting, like Limpopo, your Gauteng, and your Northwest. Their presentation was marvelous, Chair. I also got that Honorable Damasa from the we submitted the information on Monday. I'm not sure whether all the provinces have submitted their information, because we would like to have a comprehensive kind of judge.
We have lost you, Honorable Gallo.
2 minutes. We can come again. Hello?
Proceed.
No, I'm done, Chair, in the interest of time.
Okay.
Thank you
very much. Bumba. Yes, Chair, thank you very much for another opportunity. Chair, I just wanted to request that the committee really take this seriously, this non-attendance of other provinces, and we request that they must do it in writing and tell us the reasons of not appearing in front of the portfolio committee when they are called by the portfolio committee. We need it in writing and the reasons thereof. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. I think we have given everyone an opportunity to say something. Honorable Ngopane from the Northwest, the Volume 3 podcast. we wanted to give her the opportunity to wrap up the report that she was presenting. Unfortunately, she's not on the line. So, honorable members, in terms of the way forward, arising from this particular meeting, firstly, is that we are going on as the entire provincial and national committee of forums to establish this one, the legislative forum oversight forum, which will be us at the national level plus our counterpart at the provincial level to become one thing. That is why we are agreeing that there must be a single national integrated tourism oversight kind of an approach throughout the country. So we agree on that. The second thing is that the information we expect from our counterparts in province will be according to the district, according to the municipal, district others will be met according to the local municipal level, and then it will indicate how many villages are there, how many townships are there, including how many informal settlements are there, and how many small towns are there. We must not forget on our own that our focus is on dealing with problems of poverty, of inequality and unemployment, and how the executive is dealing with those challenges, particularly in our villages, in our townships, and in our small towns, without necessarily relegating the issues that are there. So that will be the second thing. The third thing will be that we will continue to work with the National House of Traditional Interest as the people who are responsible, the custodians of the measures that take place at today's level. The fourth is that the provinces will work there, the chairperson, convene their provincial legislature tourism committee meetings, and then brief the rest of the members of the portfolio committee at the provincial level on this forum, on the document that is being presented, and how we are going to work together moving forward. Is that as far as implementing this tourism oversight model is concerned, as I have said, we will hold the executive accountable in line with the decision of the executive to adopt a district service development. So that is what we are going to be doing as a committee. Leading to that, we are going to be strengthening our relationship with all the municipalities throughout the country. An example has been given of how when we do oversight in the district area, progress is made at the same stage or it's not done at all. An example that has been made is Howie. The matter of Howie, for honorable members, has been given to the Department of Tourism. We have also sent it to the province and the affected municipality. That will be last week. But as soon as there's progress on that particular matter, we will report. But it's not only Howie. Remember that in the report we have been getting from the department on updates, even as far as the implementation of the annual settlement plan is concerned, we have looked at all projects throughout the country, in every province, in the municipality, and we expect on an ongoing basis to work as we get reports from the department according to the quarterly report. We need to be focusing on those particular issues that were raised and agreed to through the department. I think we will all agree that where a need arises, and we need to convene and call to Parliament a certain municipality to account on certain things, there is no problem with that, because we work on the basis of Intergovernmental Framework Act. The Grading Council, yes, we have agreed and we hope provinces will agree to us, but ultimately in South Africa, we must have no one case for the establishment of the center. is for those who are poor, who are in a small establishment, cannot be able to make a profit that will enable them to pay for the cost of operating the establishment. It's going to be worse with the COVID-19 being around and with some of the establishments that are going to discontinue their business. So that is the way forward, honorable members. We will send, so that we don't need to have it here, we will send the state of our quarterly meeting to the provinces, and we will continue to remind the provinces. We want to thank the provinces that came on board, the Western Cape, Mpumalanga, Eastern Cape, Gauteng. Their formal apology was received from the Free State. And one of the 10 provinces that were not able to make it but sent alternates, like Gauteng, to come and interact with the Botswana Community School. We will follow on the other 3 provinces from whom we did not get an indication as far as the absence from the meeting is concerned. I will ask that we don't conclude that we are undermining the personal committee. We can only arrive at the decision or at a certain aspect until we get a feedback from them on why they have not been able to make it to the meeting. So we want to thank you, honorable members, our provinces, as I said, Northwest, Eastern Cape, Gauteng, Mpumalanga, and the Western Cape, the 5 provinces that came, including the Free State that formally apologized. So we have 6 out of 9 provinces on board. The other provinces, as I say, we will see how we can talk to them going forward. But the most important thing is to build a very strong relationship with the provinces. And I want to strengthen this to provinces. You are not accountable to us as provinces. We are not, because we are from Parliament, we are not senior to you. We are one thing, as the legislative oversight body on forestry. So we are equal, ourselves as national and you as the provinces. We are a body of a collective responsible for oversight on forestry. That is why we have established this forum, LETOFO, Legislative Tourism Oversight Forum. So when we sit as police, we sit as equal, there's no senior, there's no junior. We deal with the issues of oversight on tourism and how it must contribute to the creation of jobs, to dealing with problems of inequality, dealing with problems of unemployment and poverty in the rest of the country. So we want to thank you for really contributing in the manner in which you did. Provinces. So provinces can exit from the platform so that the national members of the portfolio committee can then debate so that we can deal with our internal members. So thank you very much, Bahai Kurisaman, for the parents. Honorable members of the portfolio committee, just before we close the meeting, the minutes were circulated to us. So I just want to get from the members if there is any fundamental issue you want to raise from the minutes, if there is none, can we get a mover for and a seconder for adoption of the minutes as a true reflection of what is true in the last week?
Hey, I'm Atilisa Melina Gomba. Would love to approve the minutes as what transpired in the previous meeting. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Do we have the seconder?
Yes, Honorable Chair.
Okay, Honorable Carlo, thank you very much. Is there anyone objecting to the adoption of the minutes as a true reflection of what ensued in the last meeting? 1, 2, 3, 9. So the minutes are now adopted as a true reflection of what was discussed in the last meeting of the Tourism Portfolio Committee.
Honourable members, there was a discussion between the chair of the committee and Honourable Fraser on what incident of the last meeting. So I'm now going to give over to Honourable Fraser to say whatever he wants to say. Honourable Fraser, over to you.
Thank you, Chair. Can everyone hear me? Sorry, I'm not sure. Okay. Chair, I did try... I beg your pardon?
Your camera is off.
I understand right. I did try and get your attention at the last meeting, but the meeting was over before I could get your attention. And I did subsequently message you after the meeting. And some members were quite upset. And I were actually correct. I actually won't apologize, but I want to do it. I apologize to you personally, but I want to do it in front of the committee. I want to apologize for the way I reacted to you. I don't think it was correct because you've been a very fair chairman and you've given everybody an opportunity to speak and so forth, and my emotional response wasn't correct. So I do apologize. You've been very gracious in that you've accepted the apology, but I did ask that I do it in front of the committee. I don't think it was fair on you, so I do apologize again. In my reaction, because you have always given everybody an opportunity to speak. And then, while I'm speaking, Jay, I did send you a letter about the health frauds. I don't know if you want to discuss that separately. Thank you.
Okay. Yes, I'll come to Honourable Member. Honourable Members, I just want to confirm that the Honourable Director did send me a message indicating his remorsefulness in the manner in which he reacted in the last meeting. I then said to Honourable Director that I'm accepting his apology. It's in the course of the work that we do in Parliament that from time to time there will be differences, but how we manage those differences must show some signs of maturity. That's an honorable member. So I've accepted the honorable differences apology. Let's hear what the committee members are saying.
Honorable Chairperson, can I pay for your indulgence? Can I request that since Honourable De Freitas has communicated with you and he has also apologized and addressed the committee, we leave it at that and we do not discuss this issue. Thank you.
So it's not a discussion, it's just also an appreciation.
Okay.
Chair, I do understand what the whip is saying, but also I would love to really appreciate the manner in which the Honourable Member has acted in terms of being shown remorse. And also, I want to say we really respect him for what he has done. It really shows that he is a responsible leader. Thank you so much for his apology, and we accept his apology. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Honourable Members, I think we all accept the guest has shown by Honourable
Member. Isn't it? Yes. Yes, we do, Chair.
Yes, we do, Chair.
Yes, Mr. Political Meetings.
Okay, thank you very much.
On that note,
Honourable Member, having accepted Honourable De Freitas' apology and having accepted and agreed on the way forward with the provinces, I really want to agree with the Honourable Members that we must thank the provinces for the manner in which they have responded, in as far as our invite and working with them as a spectre, is concerned, and how generally we have dealt with some of the issues
in the portfolio committee. So thank you very much. The matter that relates to the Microsoft platform, which is a big problematic in terms of its user friendliness and connectivity. I have raised that matter with the authorities in Parliament. We will continue to raise it, that we must migrate from Microsoft to Zoom, because Zoom is easier and we don't experience any problem. The entire Parliament uses Zoom in the parliamentary session. For instance, a lot of today when we listen to ministers in the wind budget, we are going to be using Zoom and not Microsoft. So that even Tina and the rest of the administration team, we hope that we can also impress upon the administration to make sure that we discontinue the platform of Microsoft, because many members struggle not only to use it, but the problem of not using it is its usability. It's not the network, it looks like it's very poor in as far as Microsoft is concerned. And members have been sending messages to say we must migrate to Zoom. So we'll try and do that. For example, members, this is how we come to the end of the meeting of the portfolio committee dealing with the legislative process of oversight forum and working with the provinces. Thank you very much. See you later in the sitting of Parliament. Ambanga Sesamante is a bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Chair. Thank you very much for sharing the meeting.
Thank you, Chair. Mr. Ligano.
And thank you.